last few weeks, we've been talking about choices, how we make choices, what choices we make. Michael spoken, and we also looked at the story of Zacchaeus, and Alex led us in a thought about that. But I just wanted to start off to get us thinking about choices and see the different choices that we make here. So I'm going to give you some options, and I want you to stand up or sit down, depending on what choice you make. They start off very easily and very predictable. So the first one is stand up if you prefer Coke, sit down if you prefer Pepsi. Okay, well done, you can sit down again. And for those of you who don't like either of those, stand up if you prefer soft drinks, sit down if you prefer fruit juice. Everyone prefers fruit juice? Yeah, well done. Okay, yeah, you are all liars. Okay, in terms of an event or a dress, the way you dress, formal or informal. So stand if you prefer dressing formally, so shirt and tie, fancy dresses, getting dressed up. Sit down if you prefer informal. Well, just some people like getting dressed up and being smart. I don't. I hate it. So I'll always choose informal. Thank you. Very good. Don't ask more questions about the questions. Okay, which annoys you more? Stand up if drivers in the wrong lane on the roundabouts annoy you more, or sit down if people who don't indicate? So wrong lane on the roundabouts or indication? Okay, well done. It's fairly even on that. For those who don't drive, they don't know. Okay, here's another one. Another car-related one. This is the last one. Which do you do? Stand up if you slow down when coming to a green traffic light, or sit down if you speed up to get through them? So stand up if you slow down when you're coming towards a green light, or sit down if you speed up to get through the green light. Yeah, I know I should. All you people who just slow, it's ridiculous. Why would you slow down coming to a green light? It's ridiculous. Oh, I don't get it. Whenever I'm in the car with mom, she's like, slow down. I was like, it's a green light. Anyway, okay, here's another slightly more difficult one. So you see a friend stealing in a shop. Sit down if you would confront them, or stand up if you turn a blind eye and not say anything. Sit down if you'd confront them, say something, or stand up if you turn a blind eye and not say anything. Okay, thank you very much. I could come up with lots of other ones, but... So for those things, some of them ridiculous decisions like soft drinks versus fruit juice, but what makes you make those choices? Why do you come up with those opinions? For some decisions, a spur-of-the-moment decision, like what kind of ice pop you want or what you want in your sandwich. For others, we think about it. Are we going to murder? Are we going to hit someone? Are we going to confront someone? Will we slag someone? Some of these things are pre-thought about. You think about them before. You've probably decided already in your life that you're not necessarily going to murder someone. Or maybe you are. But we probably have also thought about whether we want butter in our sandwiches or not, or we want lettuce or cheese, depending on whether we're trying to eat healthily or not. But our decisions can be directly related to the underlying way we think. For someone who's nice to someone, does it come from a love for others? Because they have been loved? Because they want to care for others? Because they've experienced love or they've been taught to love? For someone who doesn't or isn't nice, is a result of bad relationships? Is it someone let them down or bad experiences in the past? There was a TV program, I don't know if you've ever watched Louis Theroux. He's on Netflix, you can find him. He does some really interesting interviews, goes around and talks to different people. And he was in Philadelphia, and they were talking to people who were on meth. And he talked to some people who you could see that the decision to take meth wasn't the first decision they did. There was lots of decisions up to that point that led them to taking drugs. People making small choices that led to a much bigger choice. There was one particular woman who was in a really difficult place. And it didn't look like she wanted to make the decision to take meth, but she was in a place where those choices had been made for her, and she didn't really have the opportunity to choose for herself anymore because she was addicted. So what does the Bible say about making choices? We talked about Zacchaeus. We saw that Zacchaeus had an encounter with Jesus, which completely transformed who he was and impacted his choices. Jesus met with him and loved with him and talked with him. And then out of that, we see in the Bible that he went and gave money back to the people he had stolen money from. Did Jesus tell him to go and do that? Or did Jesus actually completely transform his life, that choice just came out of that relationship? His whole belief system changed. His whole mindset changed. And then last week, Michael told us about a framework of making choices, and we talked around tables about how we make choices. Do our choices love God? Do they love ourselves? And do they love others? And I think that's a healthy way to think about choices. Do I buy this? Do I go here? Do I do that? And you ask the question, does it love God? Does it love me? And does it love others? I think there's probably something missing in that. And I want to talk a little bit about that today. How do we make decisions? How do we make good decisions? We're going to take some insight from Romans 8. We went through Romans a few years back, and it took us a huge amount of time. but at the start of chapter 8, the book begins with expressing the fact that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that life has changed. You can look at it on your phone if you want, or you can take out Bibles if you'd like to. But fundamentally, at the start of this chapter, Paul is very clear about where our identity is, that our identity is in Christ. So any decisions that we make, choices that we make, we need to start from that point. When we're Christians, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, there is no condemnation, we are in Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us, but we don't always act like that. We don't always show the Holy Spirit working inside of us. We are children of God, but it's important that we know that identity and live into that identity, that we grasp the immensity of what God has done for us. When we receive new life, which it talks about in the Bible, we need to put that into effect. My examples always tend to be around football, so excuse me for these, but sometimes twice a year in football, players can change teams, and a player can be transferred. A club pays a lot of money for a player to come to their team. And it's like that with us. When the player changes team, he wears a new jersey, is part of a new club, has new teammates. They don't turn up to their old club and put on their old jersey and sing the songs of their old club. They wear a new jersey, working in a new place with new teammates. And it's like that for us when we become Christians. Not that we don't talk to the old team, but we have a new identity, new clothes, it talks about sometimes in the Bible. Dave, for some of you who know Dave, he's Northside Dave. he used to have this line, I don't know where he got it, had this line. He used to say, look like you're saved. He used to say it to you if you were doing something ridiculous or acting ridiculous. And I think sometimes it's quite true that we think about how we act and how we look, and it should come out of the fact that we're saved, the fact that we are known by God. It's not that we just get a list of sins that we can and can't do, and we tick them off, and that's the way we live. Don't drink, don't kill, don't lie, don't rape, don't murder. The way we stop sinning is the way we leave the old way of life when we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Michael gave us that framework last week to look at our choices and how we make choices. But I think it's important that we add in the Holy Spirit as well, that the Holy Spirit empowers and guides our decisions. We kind of just merely weigh up our decisions and decide that each of our decisions is balanced. We do need clear long-term progress in becoming less like the world and more like Jesus. But how do we do that? To change or to alter how we live, we need to change our mindset. It's what it says in Romans 8. We change fundamentally how we think. Not just, I won't do this, I won't do this, I won't do this, and I'll start doing these things. But fundamentally, our mindset has to change, like it did for Zacchaeus. Not merely just changing small decisions. What do you think about? What's your default thing that you think about? What takes over your mind? Are you obsessed by anything particularly at the moment? For me, it's retro secondhand furniture. I know you weren't expecting me to say that. but whenever I look on Pinterest or adverts or Done Deal, or I go into charity shops, it's always looking for that kind of furniture. That's just what I think about and think about at the moment. I know it's slightly odd. And because of that, I'm going to pick up another piece of furniture tomorrow that we don't need. But in this, in order to become more like Jesus, we need to move that fundamental orientation, the convictions of our hearts that steer the course of our life to Jesus, in order to move from the old life to the new life that God's given us. The crucial step in the middle of this, in between, in Romans 8, it talks about spirit and flesh. The crucial middle step between this is having the mindset of Christ, is thinking like Jesus does. So let me ask you a question. How are you forming your minds? In Romans 8, it talks about forming your minds. So when you think about, what is it that you think about? So you're on the bus, you're driving in the car, you're at home. What comes into your mind? What do you spend your time thinking about? What do you watch? What do you expose yourself to? What do you think about? Who influences you? Let's have a think about that at the moment. What is influencing your life? What's filling your mind? Let me just read Romans 8. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of God does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So we have this flesh, living in the flesh or living in the Spirit. I don't know what it is that consumes your mind. Some of the things are probably stupid things and things that aren't very important. Other things might be things that affect you, are deeply affecting you and changing your life for the negative. One of my thoughts this year was to read more, and I'm not doing as well as I hope to do, which is always the way, really, with kind of New Year's resolutions things. I am reading probably more than I did last year, but not as much as I'd hoped. But we got a TV there recently, and that's consuming more of my time now, watching Netflix. So how am I forming my mind? Am I being formed by Making a Murderer, or The Good Wife, or The Office, or by Jesus? Well, it comes down to how much time am I spending allowing Jesus to form or mold my mind, and how much am I allowing David Brent to? Who am I spending more time with? What are you exposing your mind to or your heart to? And we need to address this fundamental part before we think about the choices that we make. The daily choices that we make, who we talk to, what we say, how we interact with people, comes out of who we are and our mindset. If I watch The Office or other things on Netflix, then I start to think like that. My mind starts to be occupied by that. I come up with silly jokes and say stupid things. But we need to fill our minds with spiritual food. Not that any TV programs or any of those things are bad, but what is influencing us? In verse 1 of Romans 8, it says that we are in Christ. That is our identity. And in verse 13, it talks about how we should live. We are children of God, but we don't always live like that. We still make silly decisions. We live for ourselves. We put up idols like money and people. And in spiritual formation, as we become more like Jesus, it's a balance between what has God done for us already and our responsibility in choosing to grow more. We have to make choices with the Holy Spirit as our guide. And we don't move from a do the right thing and tick the boxes. We need to move to a place where the Holy Spirit is allowed to infuse and give life to all that we are, direction and sense to our decisions. So we need to know that we are secure, that we're free from the control of sin, it talks about in Romans 8. And to allow the Holy Spirit move. If we choose flesh, which it talks about in Romans 8, if we choose not to do what the Spirit does, then we are rejecting the grace of God in favor of our own will, our own way, our own ability to be God on our terms. We don't need a can-do attitude as if we have the power, the stamina, or wherewithal to pull off the spiritual life. We need I need to allow the Holy Spirit to move. We need to recognize our weakness. And I think sometimes we can think we're under obligation to God. God has done all these things for us, so therefore we have to try and repay him and balance out the scales again. But we're never going to be able to do that. None of the things that we can do will ever repay what God has done for us, the love and grace that he's given us. Our obligation is to allow the Holy Spirit, the good Father, to work within us, to make us better, to make us more whole and more content and more convinced of our identity, more sure of our salvation, more aware of our inheritance, and more confidence in our name as children of God. And therefore, after that, we'll be able to make good choices. In Ephesians 2, it says, I mean that you have been saved by grace because you believe. You did not save yourselves. It was a gift from God. You cannot brag that you are saved by the work you have done. God has made us what we are. In Christ Jesus, God made us new people so that we would do good works. God had planned in advance those good works for us. He had planned for us to live our lives doing them. Ephesians 2 reminds us what God has done for us, that it's not about what we've done. And then Philippians 1, being confident of this, being confident of knowing what God has done for us, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit working within us and transforming us. So in Romans 8, it talks about spirit and flesh. I don't know if you think of a fish tank where you have two fish. If you feed one fish, that fish grows and grows and gets bigger and bigger and stronger and eventually eats the smaller fish. We have to, I know it's a slightly random example, but in our lives, when we put things in our lives that feed the flesh, that feed what we want and what we desire, the things that are bad for us, the flesh gets stronger and the Holy Spirit doesn't have the opportunity to move. We have to choose to build up and feed the Spirit, feed the Holy Spirit within us, to allow the Holy Spirit to move within us. What does it mean to feed the Spirit? What does it mean to allow the Holy Spirit to move? It's things like gathering together like this that help us. Things like praying, singing, worship, community, sharing our lives with one another, challenging one another, edifying one another, praying for one another. Those things help build up our spiritual life. But doing this just once a week isn't enough. We do it ourselves as well. We take the responsibility to build up our spiritual life as well. Whether it's reading by ourselves or prayer or quiet silence, reflection, journaling, whatever it might be. As we feed the Spirit, as we enable and allow the Spirit space in our lives to move, to challenge us, doing those things, that's what builds us up, and that's what allows the Holy Spirit to move. And that's what changes our mindset, our understanding of life, that therefore affects the small decisions that we make every day. So let's not think about the small decisions that we make every day, but rather think about how are our lives being transformed? How are our mindsets being changed to be more like Jesus? What are we doing? What are we putting into our lives that enables us to live in that way, to have that mindset? You see Zacchaeus' life being transformed completely because of his relationship and contact with Jesus. That's how we make the small decisions. We get the big things right. I'm just going to pray to finish, but just take a moment to think, how can I begin to allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through me? What do I need to do? Is it taking time by myself, quiet, to read the Bible, pray, ask a friend to help me? What do I need to do to be able to feed the Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit to move, to increase my spiritual life? Allow the Holy Spirit to take away things in my life that aren't healthy. Father, I thank you that when we respond to your love, that our identity is in Christ. That each one of us here are called children of God, co-heirs with Christ. So Father, when we make choices out of that identity. And we'll make the wrong choices sometimes. Sometimes we make the right choices. But Father, I pray for each person here that your Holy Spirit will have more space and more room in each of our lives to move, to transform how we think and how we view things. Father, I pray that we will take on that responsibility as well for ourselves, that we may put things into our lives that build our spiritual life, that enthuse us and empower us and enable us to make those choices. So Father, yeah, pray that your Holy Spirit will pour out on each person here, that your Holy Spirit will move in each of our lives, in all parts of our lives, not just the Sunday part or the holy times in the week part. But Father, that your Holy Spirit will give us the ability to make the right choices all the time. Show us things that we can do that will build us to be more like Jesus and less like the world.